This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert.
Joining me now, 20 years and 26 Emmys later, the cast and creators of The West Wing, please welcome Allison Janney, Richard Schiff, Martin Sheen, Aaron Sorkin, and Bradley Whitford. Hey, folks, thanks for being here. Good to see you.
Thanks for having us.
I'm really happy you're here. The one thing that bums me out is that I wish we had the entire live audience of the Ed Sullivan Theater so you could feel the thunderous, roaring applause that you could literally lean against when each of you walked out on stage. I can only glow at you, but they would actually give you the love that you deserve. Aaron, West Wing fans are giddy that you put together this West Wing special, but you're being adamant that this is not a reunion. What does that mean, that it's not a reunion?
That's right. It's not a reunion show. Reunion shows have a certain stigma attached to them that you feel like it's going to be a very Brady Christmas. So over the years, I've resisted the opportunity to do a reunion show, but this opportunity came along to do something at a crucial time for when we all vote. And so while it is a group of people coming back together after having not been together for a while, it is not a reunion. It has a purpose. And what we've done, my producing partner on The West Wing, Thomas Schlamme, was also our principal director. He's taken an episode of the show and he has restaged it as a play. Haven't changed a word. He's just restaged the whole thing as a play. And then we shot that play as if it were in the style of a modern Playhouse 90. So again, not a reunion show. It's something else. I don't know what to call it.
So you guys are in character the entire time.
We are doing an episode
of The West Wing. Sorry, go ahead, Brett.
No, I was just going to say we are, however, now doing the Brady opening credits.
Right. Thank you. Because for a moment there, it sounded like Aaron was talking smack about the Brady Bunch, and I'm not going to sit here and let him run down our American treasure.
No. I'll be honest with you. I was a little disappointed with the second reunion. The first one, out of the park.
Okay. The episode that you are staging is a 2002 episode called Hartsfield Landing. Bradley, what's it like returning to the character of Josh after this period of time?
Oh, my God. It was, I think, emotionally lovely for all of us to go back. I have a little vain fear that people are going to wondering who the old fisherman playing Josh is. But we loved... I'm not just saying this. I really think the key moment that made the cast chemistry come together was Martin, because we feel such affection and protection for him as our characters do. It's a little intimidating. There's a certain pace to Sorkin's writing. I don't know if he's aware of that. And you could feel like for a second, you'd be like, oh God, did I lose this? And then you could see in others when you were riding the pace of the words, and all of us got to ride Aaron's writing like a glorious motorcycle. And it was great to have that feeling again.
When you guys, one of the hallmarks that everybody knows about the Sorkin-esque writing, if I can use that word, is that there are moments when the character finds exactly the words they would need in that moment. It's a fantasy of having just the right thing to say at exactly the right moment. when you were reading the script throughout those seasons, would you go through and like see a full block of text on a page and go, I have one of them this episode? Did you guys go through that?
I did personally. I lived for those moments for CJ because I get very nervous public speaking. I don't have a lot of confidence at it, and to be able to memorize and own Aaron's words and make them my own empowered me. It was exhilarating to say them. Even the press briefings, I just loved sounding like I was the smartest woman in the room, which I, you know, all my lovely castmates, everyone knows that I'm not. So it was just a thrill.
Martin, I have a question for you from a super fan who was on the show last night. It's Mr. John Bon Jovi asked me to ask you this question.
Ooh.
It says, he said,
I'm a fan of John Bon Jovi as well. So
he said, President Bartlett was my man. What's President Bartlett doing in retirement?
Well, Bartlett is in retirement, but I'm still at it, you know.
Richard, what about some of the other characters? Richard, what's Toby doing these days? What did Toby go on to do?
Well, in the fictional world, I would imagine that Toby would have gotten so apoplectic about the political situation in this country that he would have gone back to a more of a grassroots situation and maybe taken out a specific enemy, say Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. He would go down and join and help the candidate, in this case, Harrison. He would go and help one candidate kind of surreptitiously without being visible, kind of in the basement. He'd write him speeches and yell in his earpiece during debates so that we could have one victory. He would be focusing on one important victory, I think.
Well, Toby was a speechwriter. Aaron, as a writer yourself, what do you think of the plot of the year 2020? Because every so often, I just want to yell, "Okay, 2020, that's a little too on the nose. That's a little too much." Really, the person who is spreading the coronavirus is named Hope. Why did you name the character Hope?
2020 jumped the shark a long while ago. But I think the problem in terms of writing it, you know, and writers are going to have plenty to write about these last 4 or 5 years. But I think that you'll very seldom see Donald Trump as an onstage or on-screen character. He'll be offstage, he'll be in news footage because he's implausible. And in fact, the one place right now where you see him as a character, Stephen, is on your show. It is on our cartoon president, which is by far the most generous portrayal of Donald Trump I've ever seen.
Yes.
Because in every episode, he does what a TV character does. He changes by the end of the episode. He learns something by the end of the episode.
That is the hardest thing about Donald Trump as a character, is how can you play a man who doesn't change at all?
That's right. You can't. You can have a bad guy, you can have a good guy, but there's no such thing as an interesting character who doesn't have a conscience.
I just want to be...
He'd always be off screen, except on your show, where you kind of like him.
He'd be kind of like George Steinbrenner on Seinfeld. He'd always be off camera in the voice of Larry
exactly
David.
Exactly right. Yeah, Larry right. David will voice him and you'll just see the back of his head.
I think if there is a God... She's a terrible writer. She can't even pick a genre. I don't believe the beginning. The second act goes on forever, and the ending is terrible.
We don't know the ending yet. 2020 could end on a high note. Please, everybody breathe.
I think it might.
We'll be right back with more Allison Janney, Richard Schiff, Martin Sheen, Aaron Sorkin, and Bradley Whitford. Stick around.
Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
We're back with the creator and cast of The West Wing, Richard Schiff, Martin Sheen, Aaron Sorkin, Bradley Whitford, and Allison Janney. Everyone was heartbroken by the loss of John Spencer in 2005. And his character, Leo, such an important character. He, Martin, your character, Josiah Bartlett, and Leo were the mom and dad of that show. What did it feel like, A, back when you were performing with John Spencer? Did you guys, was that the vibe for you as performers, like your influence on the rest of the cast?
Well, we didn't project an influence per se, but we just tried to accept the responsibility of who we were in real life. He and I were the oldest guys. We adored each other. We had a similar background in theater over in New York. And I remember my favorite story. Personally, I adored him. I still miss him, frankly. And it was hard to get through this recent performance without him because his presence was so powerful.
Well, how did you deal with that?
I'm sorry.
There's a story. Finish your story.
Allison Janney revealed some years ago when we were still doing the show. She was doing an interview with a reporter who said, well, the West Wing is all well and good, but, you know, there's no love interest. And Allison said, of course there is. And the reporter said, well, between who? And she said, John and Martin, of course.
I love it. I totally agree. Well, Leo is in this episode. How are you, Aaron? How are you dealing with the loss of John Spencer?
Well, first, I just want to disagree with Martin when he says that neither he nor John had any influence over the rest of the cast. Of course they did. The rest of the cast, you know, John and Martin set the bar. The rest of the cast absolutely didn't want to disappoint them, and they were very happy to be working with these two giants. We needed an actor to play Leo, and, you know, we wanted it to be somebody that we knew that John would admire, and so we got Sterling K. Brown.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I imagine that was a challenge for him to step into. Good for him.
Oh, he did it beautifully, though. He rose to the challenge and was just brilliant. And I it was my first time working with him, and I adore him. I think he was a great, I think John would have been proud of what Sterling did.
I did a little Zoom rehearsal with him, and I just, I couldn't get through it. I started to cry because it was Leo and it was an actor who lived up to the stature of John. So I think it was great to work with Sterling.
Yeah.
This episode is actually about re-election, basically how is President Bartlett going to run this time? Richard, what does that episode mean today? You know, 18 years later, how do you perceive that story in the light of our present campaign?
It's a great question, because when I first read this years ago, I had never seen the episode after we shot it. When I first read this episode years ago, I thought, well, this is an ode to democracy, that every little vote in every small town matters, and how lovely it is that you encourage people to be at their very best and to be themselves. When I read it now, 20, 15 years later, whenever it is, it brought me to tears. I was almost devastated by it because given the state of our democracy and the threat to an existential threat to it, reading this beautiful ode to voting and to being the best person you could be when you're running for that office was so touching to me. I didn't think that I'd be able to get through it. It's just so much more poignant today with this threat hanging over us than it was just a beautiful episode. That's just 15 or 17 years ago.
Did any of you watch the show?
I would watch the show when it aired, Wednesday nights at 9, and then I wouldn't watch it again. I looked at Hartsfield's Landing again, you know, a month or so ago when we were putting this together and I needed to choose an episode. But I don't like to watch them again for fear that it's not going to live up to my memory, that it wasn't as good as I thought it was. And I have to say, watching Hartsfield's Landing, these guys were always good, but every once in a while, they just get all the bat on the ball, and everything worked in that episode. And like I said, in this new iteration as a play, which is what Tommy dreamed up, a play which is then filmed, it still works. No problem 20 years later. We could have aired the episode last week.
We have to take a quick break, but stick around. We'll be right back with more of The West Wing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, we're back with the creator and cast of The West Wing. Well, obviously, being on the show changed the arc of all your careers. Allison, do you remember auditioning?
Oh yes, very well. It was my first foray into the world of television, and I auditioned with the first CJ press briefing, where she had to tell the press that the president had run his bicycle into a tree, which I thought was hysterically funny. This, you know, incredibly important position that CJ press secretary having to deliver this kind of news to a press pool and not, you know, laugh. And it was a lot of fun to do, but I remember auditioning for Aaron and Tommy, and I did it, and they had poker faces. I mean, I left there and I thought, well, that didn't happen. I'm not going to do that part. So I was very surprised when I got a call back and did the same speech again, and not a lot of direction as I remember. I just remember thinking that I just hadn't gotten it each time, and then went into test for it, which is always a very nerve-wracking experience. Was my first, and you sit there in a room with all the other actors who are auditioning for your role, and I saw who I was up against. And
wait a second, the first show you tested for was West Wing?
Yes.
Well, as someone who did many, many pilot seasons, you go to hell.
I was not, you know, the normal story is it was my first time, and I hit it out of the park, and I'm so grateful. I got the phone call from Aaron that I was joining. I was over the moon. And I always wanted to ask Aaron if the reason I got this part was because of Primary Colors, Mike Nichols, because I feel like that's why I got this part.
Aaron?
One of the reasons.
Yes, it is. I had seen Allison do exactly one thing, which is trip while climbing up a flight of stairs with John Travolta in Primary Colors. And like a lot of people, I fell in love with her in that moment. She was good enough to come in and read. I don't know why you had to come in three times. You had it after you tripped on the stairs. You didn't have to come in at all. But you did. And my life changed when you did.
And then you gave me another fall. You gave me another fall on the treadmill. I gave you a fall on the treadmill.
That's right. It turned out that, unsurprisingly, that you were great at physical comedy. Listen, everybody on this show slips on a banana peel at some point or the other, but they do it while they're reaching high, you know.
Martin, you have the greatest opening line of any character in any television series. You come in declaiming the first commandment. As if you were Moses coming down from the mountaintop yourself. When you read that, did you know, like, okay, I have to take this gig?
Absolutely. It was the most disarming, most extraordinary entrance I could imagine being given. And I accepted it without hesitation. And mind you, when I agreed to do the show, it was only to perform in 4 or 5 episodes per season, because Bartlett was not the main character. He wasn't. The focus was the staff, the West Wing staff.
This staged reading, the stage play.
Don't say it like that.
How do you describe it again? What is it again? I'm not going to say reunion. I will not say reunion. I promise you.
It's a staged reading, but your reading had skepticism in it.
I think there should be a better word. Anything. There should be a better word for reading, because you're off book, so it's not a reading.
I know that.
The staged play, the staging. How about just a staging? Let's just do that.
It is a benefit for when we all vote, as you mentioned.
All right.
And I do want to mention them again. It is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that aims to get out the vote, that aims to combat voter suppression. And we have our... What we want to do is we're aiming at a very narrow demographic. We want to move fans of the West Wing to the polls.
And when we all vote, what do they do for you? What does When We All Vote do? Like, can you go to a website and get the information you need?
Yes, thank you for asking. You can go to whenweallvote.org, and you can get, first of all, you can quickly find out if you're not registered to vote, how to register, where your polling place is. You can volunteer to become a poll worker if you are young and healthy. That's something we need. Most poll workers are senior citizens who are not going to be able to risk being poll workers this time around. So one of the ways we can fight those 5-6 hour lines is for young people to show up and work at the polls. And I also just wanted to mention that a few of us are missing today. Rob Lowe, Dulé Hill, Janelle Maloney, they're in the show. So is Anna DeVere Smith.
I got a picture right here of
there you go.
Martin, Bradley, and Dulé right there. Wearing Dulé with the PPE. Good for him.
And, we were, when we were shooting this, the safest place in America was the Orpheum Theater in Los Angeles. The COVID protocols we were under were as strict as can be. We also hear from, during the show, Mrs. Obama, President Clinton, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Marley Matlin, Elizabeth Moss.
In the show.
It's fun. It in the act breaks where commercials would be, it's, if you're getting the sense that it's not a reunion, you're right.
It's on HBO Max, okay? If the original show had been on HBO, are there things you would like to have been able to get away with on premium cable that you couldn't get away with on broadcast? Were there words you'd like to be able to have written, put in the characters' mouths? Was there nudity you would like to have been able to share with the American people? Some Bartlett butt. Would that have been? Martin, would you have gone? Martin, would you have gone full frontal if the plot called for it? If it was in keeping with the character's intention?
He doesn't need that much to go full frontal. He'll just have to ask.
Let
the man answer.
I was 59 when I started, so I don't think that I would have had anything that anybody would have been interested in.
I beg to differ.
That hurts.
That
really hurts.
I beg to differ. As a 56-year-old, I hope it doesn't all go away in the next 3 years. Admittedly, there's some of it I can't see anymore. Okay. Okay. We have an exclusive clip right now. I'm being told we have an exclusive clip from the special. And I know you're working really hard to get it to us, Aaron, but we don't actually, we don't really have it, nor do we or you know what the clip will be. So let's just run the clip right now. And when we come out of it, we've all really enjoyed it. And we'll say a few vague but really informative things about the clip, okay?
So you think the strike against me is nobody likes the smartest kid in the class?
I don't know, sir. Being the smartest kid in the class is a pretty good pitch. It's not a strike unless you watch it as it sails by.
I don't do that.
Check.
And I'm not a snob.
I don't believe you are.
If a guy's a good neighbor, if he puts in a day, if every once in a while he smiles, if every once in a while he thinks of someone else, and above all else, if he can find his way to tolerance and compassion, then he's my brother. And I don't care if he didn't get past finger painting. What I cannot stomach are people who are out to convince people that the educated are soft and privileged and out to make them feel like they're less than, you know. He may be educated, but I'm plain spoken, just like you, especially when we know that education can be the silver bullet. It can be the silver bullet, Toby, for crime, unemployment, poverty, drugs, hatred.
Who are you trying to convince?
I'm just saying, I don't watch the pitch go by.
Check.
Amazing. Amazing.
Incredible.
Wow. It's like, it's like you're there.
Yeah.
It's like you watch, it's like, I mean, I've got goose flesh. I've got goose flesh right here.
No, but I'll tell you what it was like. It took these guys a matter of seconds to get right back to where they were 20 years ago during the show. It took no warm-up time at all. They were right in the groove.
We have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more Martin Sheen, Aaron Sorkin, Bradley Whitford, Allison Janney, and Richard Schiff.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Everybody, we're back with the creator and cast of The West Wing, Aaron Sorkin, Bradley Whitford, Allison Janney, Richard Schiff, and Martin Sheen. How much did the actors themselves influence the characters? You know, I understand, Richard, you made some choices. I understand Richard made some choices that would sometimes box you in a corner.
Yeah. It was while we were shooting the pilot, maybe 4 or 5 days in. I noticed he was wearing a wedding ring. And I went to him between takes and said, you know, I just hadn't thought that Toby was married. And Richard said, yeah, me neither. I said, well, you're wearing a wedding ring. He said, yeah, I was going to let you figure that out.
Okay, I have to tell my version of the story because it's fascinating how we remember things.
Okay.
Because Aaron came up to me kind of desperate, actually, and a little frantic. You're wearing a wedding ring. And I went, yeah. He goes, are you married? And I went, no. And what I said was, Toby is I've decided that he was a widower, which is why he's so much, so intense and so focused and maybe a little bit sad, and give him some depth and that he lost someone very close to him. You remember it as you figure it out because you were thinking, damn, I got to figure this out now because you had written my ex-wife.
Right, right. I guess you're right. But more to the point, yes, of course, the actors influenced the characters as we went. That's it's one of the really nice things about doing series television, about staying with something. You know, I stayed with it for 4 years. That you're kind of on your own with the pilot, and then with this group, starting with episode 2, you know, you start to get to know them a little bit, and they're really filling out these characters, and it just starts to work. I mean, I think that we had some very good episodes in the first season, but I feel like it took us the first year to learn how to do the show.
Allison, what was your favorite episode?
Oh, gosh, that's
you get the tough questions on The Late Show. It's the tough questions we throw
people
around here.
Yeah, that's the tough one. There's so many. But it's hard for me to pick because there's so many moments out of each one that I love. I mean, obviously, one of the most rewarding for me and just emotionally as an actor was Women of Kumar, which was, I believe, Aaron. Now, let me see. Season 3, episode 9.
Okay.
Was that right? Okay, well, I don't know. Yeah, I think it was that. But I loved it because it was CJ, you know, her personal beliefs and convictions coming in conflict with what the Bartlett administration was putting out, because they were selling arms to the fictional country of Kumar that was abusive to women. And it was very, CJ, cost her something emotionally. So that was a great storyline to see, you know, her conflicted and showing that that was an amazing episode to be a part of. And then, you know, conversely, I love all those, the silly things I got to do, picking, you know, making Bartlett pardon two turkeys one Thanksgiving, or working with other barnyard animals I got to work with. I mean, I always loved doing the silly comedy things, but then, you know, an episode like Women of Kumar just fulfilled me as an actress so much so it's hard to answer that. Succinctly.
Well, you nailed it. You nailed it. Martin, Bartlett was the second Catholic president the United States ever had. And I think it's known that you wanted Josiah Bartlett to be a Catholic. Why was that important to you as a performer?
Well, I'm a practicing Catholic. I still haven't gotten it right, so I continue to practice. But
sure.
I wanted Bartlett to have a personal reference of morality so that it went beyond the normal course of politics or public life, that he took it personal. There was reward and punishment. But I also wanted him to have a Notre Dame degree for obvious reasons that I didn't have one. So I'm grateful that Aaron gave me both.
We have to take a quick break, but stick around. We'll be right back with more of The West Wing.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans, to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods too by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, we're back with the creator and cast of The West Wing. People have characterized this show, and this is a question for Aaron, but really I'd love to get everybody's reaction to this, is that people have characterized this show as a political or liberal softcore, you know, political porn. How would you characterize it? How do you look back on the spirit of the show and what you think it meant to the audience?
Well, I don't think I get to characterize it first. I think that's up to the audience, but I'll go ahead.
How about your intention?
Thank you. My intention was that I feel like in popular culture, by and large, our leaders have been depicted as either Machiavellian or dolts.
We have both.
Sorry. I wanted to do a show set against this very exotic backdrop, the White House, where there could be high stakes problems, but the people who work there are every bit as competent and committed as the doctors and nurses on a hospital show, or the detectives on a cop show, or the lawyers on a David Kelly show. That they were going to win as much as they were going to lose. They were going to wake up every morning thinking about us and trying to do the right thing, wanting to do the right thing. And, you know, back when we were doing the show, you'd get mail, actual mail from viewers. The lion's share of it would always begin with somebody self-identifying as a Republican or conservative, or saying, I don't agree with most of the opinions your characters express, but I love the show. And the reason they liked it was because they really liked the sight and sound of competence and dedication. The show was a valentine to public service and to American institutions and democracy. And it showed a brand of patriotism that we didn't commonly see on TV back then.
By the way, the criticism would come from both sides. I got a letter in my trailer after an episode we did on Social Security where Toby solves Social Security, and I had to go to all of the experts, the consultants on our set, Lawrence O'Donnell and Pat Cadell and everybody else, to ask them how, in fact, this all really works, because I don't understand it, and it's like Greek to me. And they all had their different explanations about how this plan will work, completely different than the other. So I had to do it as if I was speaking Greek and just get through it. Weeks later, I got a letter in my trailer saying, thank you so much for tackling this very difficult issue. Here are 10 reasons why your plan won't work. Signed, Senator from New York, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Oh my gosh. Did you write back and tell her that I didn't write that episode? I had left the show already. That's really important to me.
I did not.
Before we go, obviously, as I said, you all love saying Aaron's words. And Aaron, I asked you if you would give me the opportunity to do one of your fugue-like monologues. And you nicely enough wrote the outro for this interview tonight. So I'm going to do it right now with your indulgence right now. Imagine the camera slowly pushing in on me with this American mm-hmm. flag in the background, and maybe some strings come in at a certain point.
Yeah.
A West Wing special to benefit When We All Vote airs October 15th on HBO Max. Because we're freer, we're fairer, we're smarter, and we're better when we all vote. Because on this one day, Election Day, the most powerful people in the world aren't kings or prime ministers or presidents. On this one day, the most powerful people in the world are American voters. And American voters know in their hearts that this is not a reunion show. Richard Schiff, Martin Sheen, Aaron Sorkin, Bradley Whitford, and Allison Janney, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, you beautiful people. We'll
Thanks
be right back.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game. Headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.